There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
A lot of conservatives have internalized a lot of things that have grown out of contemporary historical feminism and said, well, some good did come from feminism. But again, I disagree with that.
Liberals that want to deny any real male-female differences are just going to run up against Bruce Jenner in this, because Bruce Jenner is going to have to refer to gender norms.
There is no such thing as a penitent believer in Jesus Christ who is water baptized, who does not have the Holy Spirit.
If you talk to people who have worked in abortion facilities, they know that their job is to get her through that door and get that abortion done before she can change her mind.
An hour from now on Issues Etc., we're going to be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, four soundbites that we put forward for you to listen to, and then you can actually listen in advance, issuesetc.org. You listen, and then you give us a call, you send us an email, you go to our Facebook fan page, you send us a tweet, and you vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's coming up in the last half hour of Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, June the 5th. In the meantime, Pastor Mark Serberg joins us. We're going to be talking here for the next few minutes about why early Christians worshipped not only on Sunday, but on Sunday before the sun came up. Were they gluttons for punishment? Was there some theological reasoning for it? Was it born of necessity? And it raises an interesting question. What if the world didn't give you Sunday off? What would you do? What would the Christian church do? Pastor Mark Serberg is pastor at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Marion, Illinois, and he's author of a recent blog post titled, They Worshipped When? Mark, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Let's start with Sunday, or I guess they would have called it the Lord's Day. Why did early Christians almost, well, really from the very beginning, worship on Sunday?
Well, obviously, coming out of the Jewish background, the seventh day, Saturday, the Sabbath, ordained by the account of creation, was the day of worship. And then the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the first day of the week, on Sunday, marks a change in the way that God's people gather to worship, because Sunday, the first day of the week, becomes basically a celebration of the resurrection. And so really, every Sunday is a little Easter. It's a celebration of the fact that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead.
Okay, so we have them on Sunday, but what we find, and you're going to give us a little kind of the historical source for this, we find them worshiping not just Sunday, any old time, but Sunday before the rise of the sun. How do we know this, and can we figure out why?
Well, there's an interesting piece of information from the letters of Pliny the Younger, who was a Roman aristocrat in the ruling class who lived and ruled in the Roman area of Pontus Bithynia, that is in modern-day Turkey, on the south coast of the Black Sea. And he was there during the period 111 to 113. As the governor there, he was there to rule for the Emperor Trajan, and it's a kind of interesting arrangement that the Roman Empire really was run by one guy. The emperor really was sort of the center of the whole thing in terms of also administration, and Roman governors constantly were sending back letters to the emperor, asking for direction and asking for judgment about, you know, various matters. And Pliny ran into this group of people called Christians, and he was a little bit concerned how to deal with them, because one of the reasons that he was there in Pontus Bithynia was to look into some possible rabble-rousing groups that might be causing troubles in a political realm. And so he was already a little bit concerned about that. And so he wrote back to Trajan, kind of describing their activities and asking for guidance. And he said that they met on a fixed day before dawn in order to come together and worship. And so that's our first reference to them being together before dawn. We find then about 50 years later, Justin Martyr, who wrote a series of works that were meant to be defenses of Christianity, he describes how the Christians gathered on Sunday and that this was the day that they worshiped, and that they worshiped and they would hear the reading of the scriptures basically for as much time as they had. And so those references, along with some of the stuff from the New Testament and some other early church stuff, you know, indicates that they are worshiping not only on Sunday, but they're also worshiping before the sun has actually risen.
Now, that might be completely normal, but it's noticed here. Why in the world would they do that? Why wouldn't they wait until the sun came up? Or go midday, or as we do, mid-morning?
Or as we do, sure. And the reason is because in the ancient world, the Sunday is a work day. In fact, there really is no day off. Their schedule is very different. The week is a week of work. Their weeks, or the periods of time, were punctuated by very large religious festivals and gatherings that almost had a carnival, you know, nature. And so rather than having some, you know, every sixth day or seventh day I have a day off, their year was punctuated by this religious civic cycle, because they were one and the same, in which they would have their time off. So the rest of the days in between, you just worked. And the day in the Roman world basically began at sunup and went, you know, through close to sundown. And so if you're a Christian worshiping in the first through the first 300 years, basically, for you to worship, if you want to do it on Sunday, the only options are going to be very early in the morning, before the workday starts, that is, before the sun comes up, or late in the day, probably after sundown. And so those are your options. And so Sunday morning, because, of course, that is when the first Christians have witnesses to the tomb being empty and the Easter account, that prompts them to want to worship on Sunday morning. And if you're going to do it on Sunday morning, then you're going to have to do it really early. And then after worship, then you go to work, and you're going to work all day.
Pastor Mark Sherberg is our guest. We're answering the question why early Christians worshiped before sunrise. Well, that's of historical note. There's no doubt about it. But it actually has some implications both for them in their day and for us. Kind of swirling around the question of what if the world didn't give you Sunday off? We'll be right back.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Has your pastor promised that Christianity will improve your marriage, produce well-behaved children, and make your life happier? And have you failed to see these results? Visit a confessional Lutheran church this weekend where they won't promise your best life now. They'll give you something better, Jesus, every Sunday. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find a Church page at issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're answering the questions why the early Christians worshipped on Sunday before sunrise. Pastor Mark Serberg is our guest. It puts me in mind of a presentation we're waiting for the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. Pastor Will Whedon has been with us all 3 years of this conference. He not only makes great presentations, he also leads a hymn sing for us at the end of every one of the conferences. His presentation at the upcoming conference, June the 19th and the 20th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois, is going to be a Lutheran approach to the early church fathers. And he spent a lot of time both reading the fathers and thinking about them in terms of Lutheran theology, kind of picking up where the Lutheran reformers left off, because they were also students of the early church fathers, part of the reason that they were Lutherans, too. You can find out more about this great conference, the premier conference for the laity, at our website, issuesetc.org. You can register as well. Now, according to our current count, we're at 370 registrants, and we have room for only 400. Do the math. That means we only have 30 more spaces for the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, June the 19th and the 20th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. So you need, and it begins 2 weeks from today, if you're marking your calendars, so you need to register now. Our website, issuesetc.org, or give us a call, 618-223-8385. Pastor Serberg, let's talk a little bit about the implications of this. First, for them, this meant for the early Christians that they did not live in the world we live in today, where everybody expects Sunday off, or at least the equivalent of a Sunday off. They really had to carve out time for worship. It wasn't just a convenience on one of the days of the weekend.
No, it obviously, you know, took a level of commitment to the faith that goes beyond what most of us can imagine in terms of our experience of the Christian life in the world, and that extended beyond just the fact that you had to go to church on Sunday before sunup and then go to work. You know, it also involved the fact that, you couldn't be involved in, all kinds of aspects of social life, because social life, civic life, religious life, they all ran together. And so in all these ways, it was to be really to be set apart and, to be willing to accept consequences that went with that.
The Christians not only kind of distinguishing themselves by the way they worship themselves, but picking up on something you just said. These long religious / civic festivals in the Roman world, you stood out by your conspicuous absence, didn't you?
Yes, you did. You're not going to fit in. And of course, this raises all kinds of questions about, why are you against the city, or why are you against the empire? All those kinds of things. It caused them to be, unpopular. And actually, you see that in the experience with Pliny, who during his time there, people are willing to hand over Christians because, in some cases they just don't like them. They just don't fit in. They are not one of us. And sometimes, they're accused of being haters of humanity because they don't take part in civic life the way, everybody else does and everybody else should. And that was just simply part of confessing the faith that there was one who was truly the Lord, even if there was another one who claimed that, which is the Roman emperor.
So is it kind of like, just to be kind of hypothetical here, is it somewhat like if here in the United States the celebration of the 4th of July or Veterans Day or Memorial Day had as part of it some sort of pagan ritual, some sort of, just for sake of argument, some sort of prayer to a pagan deity
that would be part of it. That is a very good analogy in terms of the way that people in our culture and our society sort of revere those days and see them and see it connected with all kinds of different aspects of their life and patriotism. And if you added in a religious element that was an expectation that where you would be involved, you have a pretty good feeling for what it would be like in those first centuries as a Christian trying to live in the Greco-Roman world.
I mean, it would extend to something like, could a Christian in good conscience condone the thing at all? Could they put out the flag or burn their fireworks or any of those kinds of things?
What does it mean to participate, and to what extent can you participate without also being then advocating, the very thing that it was presenting? Those are all the kinds of questions that they would have to grapple with.
I read your blog post, and the first question that came to my mind was, well, what if the world didn't give us Sunday off? Sunday's almost a universal day off. It's kind of the heart of the weekend. People do work Sundays, but generally speaking, if you don't work a day every week, it's probably Sunday. Should Christians ponder that possibility not only as a hypothetical, but as perhaps something that may await, if not us, our grandchildren?
Well, I would say it's already happening. If you have any interaction with youth sports in our day-to-day, number one, youth sports takes place on Sunday. There's sort of a combination of the youth sports have taken on this model of the travel team, and that kind of level of play. And, if you want your kids to get ahead in sports, you want them to get, the best competition they can, the best training. But then that play will occur in tournaments that basically always take place on Sunday as well. And so you begin to find yourself in the position that, and I love sports, but if you're going to have your child pursue sports in the way that you might like, what's that going to mean for Sunday? Because, there was a time it would have been unthinkable. I mean, I can remember growing up and, if we had a baseball tournament and it happened to be over a weekend, there was no way anything was going to start until, Sunday afternoon at the very earliest. But now, you can pretty much assume it's going to be on a Sunday, and you begin to find yourself placed in the position of having to choose, and, especially with your children, having to choose that, is it that Christ and his means of grace that take place on Sunday is our focus and what's most important, or are we going to begin to, give in to these cultural pressures? And so it already has begun in very, very, practical ways that impact, families.
It raises kind of a whole complex of questions, because in that is not just, well, are sports important to you? I think you rightly framed the question there, and that is it's our regard for our children as well, because the sports are only important if your kids are playing. You don't care if some other kid is playing, right?
Right.
So how we regard our children and how we prioritize them as well.
As parents, how are we going to view their Christian upbringing and raising them in the faith and the priorities that's going to require us to place on, coming to church and Sunday as the day that's set aside for that? And that's going to be a very important thing for Christian parents to do, and it's very challenging. I mean, lots of pastors will tell you that, that is simply a new reality of life that, prior generations did not encounter. And so we're going to be called to speak to our members about, the kinds of choices that have to be made now, and the fact that, being a Christian will involve in ways that it didn't in the past, recent past for us, but in the history of the church always has. It will mean taking up the cross and sacrificing, certain things in order to be faithful to Christ.
You tell a story dated from early in the year 304, a great persecution under Diocletian. Tell us that story here briefly as our time winds down.
The Christians had faced persecution under Dacian in 250, and then some under Valerian again in around 260, but they had a real break until Diocletian in 303 began a rather systematic, for the most part, persecution in the Roman Empire. And prior persecutions had been local and not very organized and sporadic. This was fairly organized, and it wasn't hard to find the Christians because, they had had about 50 years of peace, and, they had church buildings, and you kind of knew where to find them.
We've got about a minute here, Pastor Sherman.
Okay, I'll bring it to an end. Basically, there were a group of people in North Africa who were taken in and being charged with gathering for Western worship in ways they shouldn't have. And when one of the readers, a lecturer, was asked about this, he confessed, yes, it was in my house that we celebrated the Lord's Day. We cannot live without celebrating the Lord's Day. And I think that will have to become more and more our attitude towards Sunday and the things that go on there.
Pastor Mark Serberg is pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Marion, Illinois, and he's author of a recent blog post titled, They Worshipped When? You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Mark, it's always a pleasure. Keep up the good work, and thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me back again.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. with Pastor David Peterson. Vatican II was a church council, actually a series of councils, held by the Roman Catholic Church. And you would think, well, that's interesting. It was the most famous 20th century church council, probably. Made the greatest changes in many ways within the Roman Catholic Church. What is truly remarkable about Vatican II is that the changes that it led to in the Roman Catholic Church didn't stay there. You may not believe this, you may not think so, but your Sunday morning is different today because of Vatican II. You say, I'm not a Roman Catholic. I know you're not, but your Sunday morning is still different today because of Vatican II, and not always in a better way. We'll talk about the impact of Vatican II, not only on Roman Catholic worship, but on Christian worship in general, with Pastor David Peterson, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the other side of the break. Then, since it's Friday and we're coming to you live, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in the last half hour of the program. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour 2 in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org.
And the love of God.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings, 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.